Okay, good morning, everybody. Continue the laws of Tzedakah, page 349. The Gemara says in source 16 that a person should not give less than a shalishis hashekel b'shana, which is one third of a shekel every single year. And he quotes a pasuk from Nehemiah. Now, what does that mean, right? How much is that? Tachlis. So, if you take a look at the Shulchan Aruch, he says in 17, "Lolam lo yumana adam atzmo pachos mishlishis hashekel l'shana," which is a quote from the Gemara Bava Basra. "V'mnasan pachos mizeh lo kiyam mitzvah tzedakah." He hasn't filled the mitzvah of tzedakah. So, how much is that? So, if you take a look at that box over there, the value of a third of a shekel in today's currency is approximately 15 shekels in Israeli currency. The value of about 6 grams of silver, which is approximate to 4 US dollars. Obviously, it fluctuates a little bit because it's pegged against the value of silver. And this, everyone is obligated to give this. So again, to convert it to $4 US, what is that? What's 4 US today? 550 or something, right? That's the minimum that you have to give every year, which is many ways the source for why we have, there's a tzedakah box. And sure, if you put in your nickels and a dime, right, you can't give pennies anymore, they don't exist, right? You add up nickels and a dime and a quarter, you add that up, you know, 6 days a week, you put 10 cents in every day, that's 60 cents a day, 50 weeks in a year, 6 times 5 is $3, you're almost there, okay? You gotta give more than, I guess, that, right? Okay, so you give a little more than that, and then you'll cover it. So what was that math? You have to give... 550 a week, you got to give basically
20 cents
or so, okay, a day. Then that's what you'll hit it. Okay, that's the idea behind it. And the Gemara in Gittin in 18 says, "Afilu ani mina his partners mina tzaka yaset tzaka." Even someone who's dirt poor is still obligated to give that amount. There is no exception. Okay. And according to the post scheme, this could be done broken down, which is, I believe, the source to give every single day. Okay, now, 19. What about im sha'allu ani? If a poor person asks him for money, the ilma yitano, he has no money to give him. Lo yigar bo v'yagbiya kolo alav. Don't yell the guy. Ela faisa with varim. So let's say you have no money. So if you have no money, you don't get tzedakah. So what do? So ask him for tzedakah. So instead, you can't give money, but you can give him nice words. You can calm him down, right? Just do properly to him. I wish I could give you, young man, or elderly man, right? Or fellow yid, right? But I just can't do it. I simply can't do it financially. But you can't give the person, can't leave the guy empty-handed. I feel ain no sin of rag guru goras achas. Shinemar al Yashov Tach Nichlam. You should not leave a person empty handed, you gotta give him something. So what about here in Shul? This is not in the book, this is conversation. Ready? What about here in Shul? Let's say you don't have money at the Shul. You literally, you know, I don't know about you. I don't bring my wallet to Shul. Rarely bring my wallet to Shul, right? It's not even in my car, it's at home. I don't grab my wallet just to go to Shul. Maybe I should, but I don't. Let's say it's Mincha. And Shachar, so my tefillin bag, I have a little bit of coins. Let's say it's mincha, so I don't have. And someone asks, what do? Well, you get a tap with your phone? You can use your, what's it called? Your Apple Pay or something? Right? There are guys who walk around with them, by the way, with these machines, you should know, right? It's more a New York thing, a Yerushalayim thing, but it doesn't matter.
Tell them where to get the real tzedakah.
Okay, but you got a gift. So the answer is, you actually, you know what? When you contribute to the shul's tzedakah, you've dropped in your nickels and dimes and quarters. In many ways, you've actually given. Why? Because they give to people on a regular basis, right? They have a tzedakah fund. So in many ways, by you giving to the communal pot, it's also, you've actually contributed to people who are coming in.
So what's better, to give to your shul or to like something?
Okay, so we'll get there, Okay, fine. Great question. We're gonna I was reading through this last night. I wanted to, you know, prepare. So I read all the tzedakah in advance. We're going to have to augment some of the material here, but we will.
People who are like walking in between the cars and
like with the signs?
We'll get there. Good. Meaning like in the Allen Road, you know? The bar on the Allen Road or at Seals and Mathers.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll talk about it. It's very important. Okay. Now, what's the most that you can give, Halavai? So there's a takana in the Gemara Ksubis. The Gemara Ksubis says, Amar Rav Ila, Be'ushe Hiskinu, they made a takana, Hamibazbez, Al Yibazbez, Yoser Michomesh. If you want to give your tzedakah, you should not give more than 20%. Tadunamiachi, excuse me. It's also found in a brisa. Because if you give away 20%, you know what's going to happen? Then you're going to be in there. You're going to need tzedakah. You see why the Gemara stipulation is very important.
But you're letting another person do a mitzvah, so you should do that.
Right. So you know the rule. You don't put other people in positions of mitzvahs, right? So the question is, look at the condition the Gemara gives. That maybe you'll then need tzedakah. He just gave away so much of tzedakah, he got himself into very big trouble. And he himself didn't have enough. Umano Rabbi Yeshaviv. And in fact, this person's name is Rabbi Yeshaviv. He was in this situation, okay? And there were people who, his friends said to him, no, we're not letting you give it away. It's too much money. And who told him not to do it? That was Rabbi Yeshaviv, right? And he said, Rabbi Yeshaviv said to him, Nichol Chavira Manu, Rabbi Akiva. And who told him? This was Rabbi Akiva who taught it to him. Rav Nachman, okay, meaning, what do we see from here? You're not allowed to give away more than your 20%. The Gemara goes on to say, but you're allowed to give 10%. So my question here is, why not? Meaning, how come the Gemara made it a kind and can't give away more than 20%? Because you're going to go broke. Question. Does that open up for any exceptions?
Yeah. Bill Gates.
Oh, very good. Bill Gates would be an exception. Right? Or what about if I know...
Before Bill Gates, he'll be feeling broke.
Right. If Bill Gates gets rid of 20% of his wealth, is that going to have any impact on his life?
He gives away like 50.
What?
Doesn't he give away like 50?
No, I think his goal is to give away 90% of his wealth, no?
Yeah, something like that.
Right?
It's a lot. It's like an abnormal amount
of money, charity, right? Yeah. Oh, so if a person's crazy wealthy, then maybe he could, based on this Gemara, right? What else? What else maybe you could consider? But if you're not crazy wealthy, but we're worried that a person is going to go broke, what about if?
You don't have kids.
Okay, potentially. There are no expenses,
yeah.
Right? What about if they have a steady income? I mean, so I'll give away 50 of some income today, because it doesn't matter. In 2 weeks, I'm getting another large paycheck.
Because the Apple stock's about to shoot up.
Apple stock's about to shoot up. I think it did already, no? Can it already shoot up?
I think so.
Right?
Probably to Apple TV.
What?
Real estate down the way here.
Yeah. Oh, that's what they said on the radio? That the Apple's getting good and high?
Buy up.
Okay, I thought it went up already. It's at like 318 or something, no? Okay, good. So the Ramah quotes that halacha, and the Aruch HaShulchan says, there may be a time where you're allowed to spend it under certain situations. Look at 22. Let's say you have, again, this was very common in the Middle Ages, where you have some Jews that were taken captive. So there, the Aruch HaShulchan says, and let's say you need to spend more money, you'll be allowed to do it. Or what about if a guy is in desperate need? People are mamish dying, they're starving. Okay? So again, that's Pikuach Nefesh. I've already spent 20% of my money on stock. I can't give you. The guy's like dying in front of you. So then also might be another example of when you're allowed to give more than 20%.
Flip the page. If you already gave 20%.
Yes.
Like he actively chose, so he still has to give.
But see, he gave, and all of a sudden, the other guy shows up, right? So,
that what it means? It's like you can't give a claim, or is it you can't give a claim to one person?
It looks like I just shouldn't spend more than 20% of my assets on Stockholm. Yeah. If you turn to page 352, the Chavetz Chaim in his Sefer Avos Chesed, he lists exceptions. And very good, he's going to list exceptions that we already said. Number one, called an Asher Muflag, a guy who's exceptionally wealthy. Mr. Hashem by you, right? Mr. Hashem by you, right? A guy who's an Asher Muflag, a guy like that can give away more than 20%. Bill Gates is a great example because 20% of his wealth has, you know, he's going to be okay. Or what about a guy who's about to die? A guy's about to die, what is he money for? Again, providing his wife and kids are, you know, right?
Yeah.
So that's another situation. Number three, if...
what if he's exceedingly wealthy, but his wife and kids will have a problem with him giving away? Like, they're already taken care of, but they'll still have a problem with it.
Okay,
like
it doesn't matter. Right? It's my money. Okay, so you don't want to cause machlokes. You don't want to cause machlokes. Right? Got to be careful there. The other example would be, and that's what he says in number three, what we said, if a guy knows he's going to get more money soon. He has a set job. He has a business, right? He has, he has $1 million of Apple that reinvests itself. So he gets a dividend. Although the dividend, I think, for Apple is pretty low, right? I don't know. He has like some type of stock that has a very, you know, he has a tremendous amount of shares in a company and it pays dividends. So he knows he's getting more money, right? He knows he's getting a paycheck. He knows he's going to get these things coming in. Again, a guy like that also would be allowed to do it. So. And, like
but
we said, if there's an emergency situation.
That isn't tangible yet?
Yes, because you know it's coming. When it comes to tzedakah, you know money's coming, right? No,
but
you're
once
right.
It doesn't come one time, and then you become an unreliable person.
Because then you're in trouble. Forget, we have to be in a situation where you know, listen, if I have a job for the government, and I know that every 2 weeks the government's paying me, that's pretty reliable, right? The government's not going to not pay me, right? I work for a bank. I work for TD Bank. TD Bank's like, oh, sorry, we can't make our payments, right? They're worth billions and billions of dollars there. So, but you're right. If you have to, you have a store, so it's hit and miss, right? Stores are very hit and miss. You know, 1 month depends. Every month is very different, right? I imagine in certain industries, you know, December might be a good month. Could be January is a bit quieter, right? Imagine December in your papa's business is one of the best months of the year, and I imagine January is not one of the best months of the year, right? And so, yeah. Okay, so things definitely fluctuate. Okay. This is amazing. Person should be very careful the way he spends his money. A person shouldn't spend their money. You shouldn't spend your money on things that are shallow, that are empty, that really is this fake honor. Hainu, the hislabesh babushe rakama, to wear very fancy clothing, for the dur behe chalei kavod, to live in palatial buildings, lishtamesh beriboy hamesharsim, and to have lots of servants, uba kelim hayoser yakarim, in fancy dishes and fancy stuff, shakol ze mekila mamunosh adam bizman katzar, because you know what this does? This takes a person's money away, right? Money. And it leads you to poverty. And therefore, it also leads you perhaps to steal because you're going to need more. You're going to need money. Or maybe other people steal your money, right? And he's a person who spent so much money on stuff. They could definitely spend more than 20% on tzedakah.
Does someone who...
Again, it's very... what exactly does that mean and who does that apply to is very complex, yeah, obviously.
Someone who partakes in insider trading, let's say.
Whoa, that was totally...
I'm curious. And it's a sure thing.
You got charged by the government?
No, if you got caught. Yeah. Saying, is that considered mitzvah, blah, 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 if you're giving tzedakah?
Yeah, for sure, that's a problem.
Yeah?
Yeah. Insider trading, it's like, whoa, you're just like, but tell me the deal later.
No, I'm also, someone tells you, oh, I have money coming in because it's a sure thing. You, like, heard about it from an insider trader.
But yeah, first of all, even insider trading, again, I don't know a lot about these things, but even insider trading, you know, we're gonna announce at 4 o'clock today that there's a merger happening, mm-hmm. right? So you buy the stock in the morning, and then at the close, at 4 o'clock, they make an announcement, or at noon, they make an announcement, and the stock goes up, 20%. And you buy options. You don't short the stock, you long the stock, right? So you put down, you can wager for $2,000, you can make a lot more money than just buying the stock, I'd say, right? If you have options. So, say no a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, Yeah, I don't know. That's a tough question.
What if
I guess insider trading is illegal, no? It is illegal, right?
Are you supposed to give tzedakah on money that you gamble? Like, let's say you're like a competitive gambler.
Yeah, you will, because that's considered... We'll get there, because that's considered profit.
No, I'm saying like, yeah. Like, yeah. If you're in like 20 fantasy football leagues for $1,000 each, let's
right.
say.
So we're going to see later on what you get stuck on. So if that, if it's a prop, any time when you get married and you get cash you get stuck on. Presents you do not.
Tips.
Cash, only cash you get stuck on. You don't have to give, you don't think, you know, if someone gives you a dishwasher, random, a microwave. Right, you know, microwave is worth $200. I now got to give $20 to Tzedakah. Are you kidding? I mean, I'm gonna get that cash. We're gonna sell assets. No, you only have to give Tzedakah on cash gifts or cash earnings. Right. So, like, even by the way, if you're okay, it's really complicated. Again, he doesn't even talk. He doesn't go into that much detail. He can't. It's too fine in a book. But what happens if your parents buy you a house? Right, so let's say, not bad parent, huh? Your parents bought your house for $1 million. So, how are you going to give Tzedakah on that exactly? Right, you're going to give $900,000 to Tzedakah? What are you talking about? You newly married and you only earn, you know, $20,000 a year. That's impossible. So, okay. Okay, 25. The Torah is going to outline for us how much we have to give. Shur Nisi Nasa. Im Yadoma Sagas. If a person is able to, Yitin Kifitzuracha Aniyim. What?
Are you allowed to benefit from your
tzedakah? So, there's two different ways you benefit from tzedakah. If I get a tax receipt, which is a benefit, so let's say I give away $100, I get a tax receipt for $100. Let's pretend that's worth $50, meaning when I pay my taxes, instead of giving away $50,000 to the government, I only have to give away $49,950 because of the tax receipt, let's say. So I get a $50 credit. That guy gets stuck on that $50.
So you have to reinvest.
So then I got to reinvest that into tzedakah because I'm getting cash back from the government.
So if you, all your money you get back from the government.
I would have to, because that is a tangible cash.
So really you're giving $125, basically.
Right? No, I'm really end up giving. So if I give $100 to Tzedakah, then I get back $50, then I gotta give $5 on that $50.
You always have to give the 10%.
You always have to give your 10% on when you get back. Yeah. But if you get a plaque, although I don't know why you get a plaque for giving $100, but let's say you did, you have to get stuck on a plaque. Well, you get the plaque, it's not helpful.
Right? You can slap some covered on everyone else around him, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you give Tzedakah.
Then you win the lottery?
Charity and you get like tickets to...
A Leaf game. Right, a Leaf game. So you probably would not have the tzedakah because there's no cash value.
What if you sell those tickets?
Okay, then you would have to because there's cash.
Don't sell the tickets.
Mm-hmm. Right? So. Okay, and this is very important. Okay? So again, if you can, you give to whoever asks, to the poor people. Let's face it. There are very few people who have enough money. You come to shul over the course of a week, you see people coming, you get many letters in the mail, you get many emails, you get right. How is it possible to respond to everybody? It's not. Yiten kifiyas segesh argo. You give what you're able to give. Kamhu yiten. Ad chomesh. 20%. Mitzvah min amuvchar. Ve'echad ma'asar mida binonis. So, the ideal, right? So again, you give away a fifth. However, 10% is considered average, right? That's considered mida benonis. Pelcha mikan ayin ra'a. But less than 10%, that's an ayin ra'a that a person should not do. Okay, turn the page because Beis Yosef was just quoting what we said before. Could you have the 28, please? And again, it's about what you've earned. It's about your earnings. So, not your tax money. So if you earn $1,000, but the government takes $200, you'd only have to give tzedakah on the 800, not on the 1,000, because it's taxed, you actually don't earn it. It's taken from you from the government.
So should you give after the entire year, or should you be giving after each paycheck?
You'll see that when you should give. It's a great question. It's a great question. So,
yeah.
Okay, very good question.
Purim and Yom Kippur.
What was that?
Purim and Yom Kippur.
Right, okay, right. Good, yeah, yeah. No, it is. Okay, 28. You'll see, I saw that. He talks about it here. Mi yadom ha'tzak v'ayim. We said that already. Oh, we'll read this whole thing in 28. This is the Psakim v'tshuvos. So he says here, Mi sheyadom ha'tzak. I guess, eno chayav la'teis kol atrachos shakol niyim ha'ponim elav. Right? A person who has money, he doesn't have to give towards all the needs of other poor people who come to him. Ela ha'ani tzarech lefanos lekol tzibur. The poor have to go to the entire congregation, which they do, the community. V'kulam yachat tzrichim alos mechasrono. And together, there's a community to help them out. Kol echad lefi ashro, depending on how much they earn. V'chein mayrish kishein sham rabim. But in a place where there's simply not enough people, oshin yad harabim asagas l'sayeya lo. But in a situation, again, you try whatever you can, and hopefully, you know, together they'll be able to help out. But if there's no one else to help, or if no one else has the ability to help, then you'd be in a situation where you'd be forced to give in order to survive. Okay, really, in many ways. And we'll end here. In many ways, you know, when we talk about giving tzedakah, how much you're supposed to give and who you're supposed to give to, it's quite complex, and often it needs to really, you know, you have to sit down with somebody in order to talk to you about them, in order to talk to you about, you know, how much should I give, how much should I not be giving. I'm a newly married guy, right? I'm living, I got paid rent, I'm still in school, right? I'm living at home and I'm working, I'm not working, so everyone's in a different situation. Even when you start working, things get very complicated. And I'll bring you one example and I'll end, then I'll take your question. But let's say you get married and you get $24,000 from your wedding, right? So they get stuck. But here's the problem. Your parents borrowed money for your wedding. So you mean to tell me that you're going to then give tzedaka and your parents borrowed money for the wedding? That's absurd. What should you do instead? Go to your parents and say, you borrowed money for the wedding. I'm happy to give you, I'll give you my $2,500, or I can offer more, I'm sure, right? Now, the parent could say, we don't want it, you can keep it. That's their prerogative. But it's a very odd phenomenon that you make money on your wedding, and then, or your bar mitzvah for that matter, and then you then turn around and give it to a charity when your parents borrow that money, and you should definitely offer it to them first. By the way, living at home too. You live at home, you eat their food, I don't think they're charging you rent, right? So you offer it to parents first. Again, they can say no, but it makes sense to me to offer the first. Oh, yeah, I'll stop there. Yeah, question?
Is Maisha the same as Tzedakah?
Okay, very good. Very, very good. That will be coming up. How do you define Tzedakah? And then you have to ask yourself a question, what could you spend your Maisha on? Right? They're not necessarily the same thing. And there's a third category that no one talks about, and I even looked it up in here. He doesn't talk about it. You have other cases of chiyuvim that are not tztaka, but things that you use, right? For example, mikvah. Tuition, mikvah, shul, you're not giving the... Now, the shul might count as miser, it might. But when you use something, you have to pay for something. So if you use a shul, you have to pay for the shul. So giving money to the shul might not count as miser, it counts as something. Now, it could be... That's the first $100. After $100, that would count as miser. But if you use something, you got to pay for it. That's the rule. So, you know, the Eruv is a great example, right? Using the Eruv every week. The Eruv is one of these organizations that are always saying, no, not people give, which is preposterous because everyone uses it. You better from the Eruv. How can I pay for it? Right? So giving to the Eruv, you might have an obligation because, not because of miser necessarily, or not because of, but you use it, you're using, you're benefiting. Now, Mr. Rich Guy might benefit more, he has more stuff to slip around. He should be paying for things that he's using. So. Okay, we'll stop there.